Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson. Stay tuned for the next hour as Sue explores the human psyche, what makes us tick, and how to live better, more fulfilled, and more meaningful lives. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson, and on my Finding Human program, I have not been on air for the last few weeks because I had a virus. You can probably hear from my voice that it's going to be going on and off, but I was determined to do today's program because I know that a lot of people were asking if I'd left High FM because I hadn't had my program for the last 2 weeks. I want to assure you that I haven't left High FM, and I'm here, and it's wonderful to be back. I'm on Zoom. I'm not in the studio, but it's just so nice to be able to communicate with you all. Thank you for those of you who have inquired where about me. I really appreciate it. Today, I would like to dedicate this program to Adele Hill, who passed away last week, a beloved wife, mother, grandmother, relative, and friend, an exceptionally loving, kind, and compassionate woman. I would like to dedicate this message to her especially, and to her husband and to her son, to know that she will be missed. Today, my program today is actually going to be called A View from a Distance. And Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And how true that is. And Viktor Frankl so often spoke about how we need to look for ways to examine our life to see what is life asking of us. And he spoke about the space between stimulus and response. And he said there is this space, and within that space lies our freedom to choose. As I was listening to the news now and listening to the rise of anti-Semitism in Canada and around the world, it is a very frightening world at the moment. Now, do we want to dwell on what we can't change, or do we want to look at the choices we have? And when Frankl says the space between what's occurring and how we choose, that is the space. And he talks about the power of humor. And he said that humor is our ability to laugh. And this affords us the ability to self-detach, to laugh at ourselves. You know, he spoke about an experience that he himself had at one of the death camps in the Holocaust. And his whole body was shaved of hair. And he was standing outside, freezing cold, naked. And he saw his friend standing next to him. And he said to his friend, "I almost didn't recognize you." This gave them both a chance to, however limited the chance might have been, to actually step aside, to laugh at the ridiculousness of the situation they were in. It afforded them a moment of self-distancing.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson, and I'm back on the Finding Human program. I explained just now about my voice. I'm sorry if you can't hear it. I hope you can hear it enough to hear what I'm talking about. If you'd like to WhatsApp us, please do so on 061-895-1019. I was talking about Frankl's technique of self-distancing. And this is a uniquely human capacity. No animal can do this, but we do have the freedom to step aside, to look at what is being asked of us. And as I said, he speaks about humor, and he talks about the second time perspective, which is looking at our lives. What can we change? And if I was looking at my life for a second time and realizing that I hadn't quite done what I wanted to do, we have a choice to not act wrongly the second time. And this is what it is. It's self-transcendence. Instead of being obsessively focused on what we want from life, it is what is life asking of us now. And this is often a very difficult place to be. And, you know, I read this, that it said, serenity is not freedom from the storm. It is peace within the storm. And I think that is exactly what we are being asked at the moment. The power of humor is incredible. And what about the future perspective of ourselves? Imagining that we had lived this life and are now living it for the second time. What are the mistakes that we have made? Are we going to go on making those mistakes? Are we going to go on coping with our current life and distancing ourselves from anything that makes that challenges us? No, we're not. And I think again and again, at the moment, we're being asked to step forward into what life is demanding of us. I read the most incredible book in the last few weeks. It's called Is Resilience. I-S, resilience. It's one word. And it's what Israelis can teach the world. It was written in 2020, and it's by Michael Dixon and Dr. Naomi Boehm. And it certainly is not from since the 7th of October 2023. It was written in 2020. The most unbelievable examples of resilience. And it is resilience. We only have to look at our own news channels and in Israel and just see where this unbelievable resilience is coming from. Now, we all can tap into that resilience, and we're all being asked to do. What about remaining a prisoner of our thoughts? This is a book by Alex Patakos, and it's quite amazing, Prisoners of Our Thoughts. And it's looking outwards and at the chaos in our own minds and discovering our own unique meaning and the choices that this present moment presents to us. Do we want to be the naysayers? The people who surround other people, they go in, you might be having a positive conversation, and someone will come in and start telling you the most awful story about and just changing the entire atmosphere. And it's those sort of naysayers we have to step away from. You know, there is that wonderful saying, carpe diem. You probably all remember the Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams. It's that Latin phrase, which actually translates as pluck the day, but he talks about it as seize the day. It's living in the present, not on what was or what is to come. Let's face it, the future is uncertain and the past is past, but we can embrace today and make the most of it. According to Frankl, he says, only man owns the capacity to detach himself from himself. And instead of asking what the meaning of our life is, we must remember that it is we that are asked that question. What is the meaning of our life? And the only way we can answer that is to be responsible for our actions. Life definitely questions us day by day, hour by hour. And every stage of our lives gives us more questions. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was saying that she's gone into the last phase of her life. And I asked what that phase was. She said she's just entered her 80s. And I said, absolute nonsense. If you look at the statistics now, 80s is actually the old 50s. So enjoy life, get on with it, and do your best. Does anyone have the right to tell us to respond, how to respond? No. But my friend and I had a good laugh. You know, it's not about ignoring the problem. We can't ignore the fact that, sure, life is changing. Life at the moment is challenging, especially for Jews at the moment. But certainly, if you look at the Middle East, if you look around the world at Ukraine, at Russia, there's so many unbelievably sad things happening around us. So it's not about ignoring the problems, but it's the awareness of the moment. And where are we finding meaning? How are we finding meaning? Is it in the relationships around us? Is it in something we do to reach out to others? You know, there's a lovely story of a beggar who's sitting on a box. And he sits on this box year in and year out. And people going past him ask him, "What's in your box?" And he says, "Nothing, it's empty." Eventually, one man says to him, "You know, I've seen you sitting on this box through the years. And every time I've asked you what's in it, you've said nothing. If you don't mind, I would like to see it for myself, to see what nothing looks like." Anyway, the beggar opened the box, and it was filled with treasures, unbelievable treasures. And the man said, "Look at this. If you'd only opened your box sooner, you would not have had to sit on the side of the road for so many, many years." Now, what does this teach us? This teaches us that within our own box, within ourselves, we have these coping skills, the skills that we have accumulated in our own lives, things that we have faced, hardships or pleasure, whatever it is. We have got those within ourselves. We can tap into that. We can tap into that reservoir, our reservoir of unbelievable talents that we have, our coping mechanisms that other people have not learned. Only we know what we have learned in our own lives. And it's by looking at them, not looking at the world and saying, "I can't cope with this world. Everything's out of my control." It's re-looking at our coping skills. Craig, are you managing to listen to me? Good, thanks, Craig.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. You're about to listen to a short audio clip called Be Heliotropic, Take the High Road.
So this topic is Take the Road Less Traveled, the High Road. Every single moment, we have an opportunity to go take the high road or the low road. And what I mean by that is we get angry and pissed and resentful and jealous and revengeful. Or we say, you know what? Let it go. It doesn't matter. I'm taking the high road. I'm not going to say the nasty thing. That is moment to moment to moment. That's the practice of this work, which is every single moment we have the opportunity to say something nice or say something mean. Okay? That's our choice. Or not say anything at all. That's what I mean by take the high road. And we get to practice that every single moment. And that's the work of taking the high road, which is oftentimes what people don't do. We get a chance to do this 100 times a day, actually 200 times a day. That's the work of the work. And that's why I want to make it simple for us. The more we do it, the easier it gets, the more automatic it gets, so that you don't have to work so hard. But it is a daily, 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 moment to moment to moment thing. So do I need to say something nice or not say anything at all? Yes.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program, and you were listening to Dr. Harry Cohen, and he was talking about taking the high road. And he talks about the heliotropic choices we make daily. And what does that mean? He talks about the moment by moment we have the choice on how we respond. What is heliotropic? It means, the actual word means it turns towards the sun. Like a plant in your house, for instance, will go towards the window, looking towards the sun. Think of sunflowers, how they follow the sun. And so it normally talks about plants, but in actual fact, people are also can also be heliotropic. Let's think about people who come into our lives and bring in sunshine. What does that mean? We are drawn to these sort of people. People who come into our lives and are not pulling us towards the darkness. Instead, they are showing their own light, not as in a type of way, but in a very genuine way. We all know people who come into our lives. And Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you said and did, but they will never forget how they made you feel. And that is important to remember. How are we leaving the people that we are going in to see? Whether it's into a house of mourning, whether it's into a house where there is sickness, whatever, wherever we go, whether it's into a meeting, an everyday encounter, if we're going into the quick shop to go and buy a quick snack, whatever it might be, how are we greeting the people who are there? What are we leaving behind? Are we leaving and the people are saying, thank goodness they've left our shop, or thank goodness they've left, we filled up their tank with petrol. They can now drive on. Let's get on with our own lives. No, we do not want to be the sort of person that people say, thank goodness they've left. It's much better for us to be the sort of person that someone feels, thank goodness they were here. It was so nice to see them. That is a choice we have. And that is, once again, when Viktor Frankl talks about this, the choice between the spaces in our lives, that is what we are always being asked. How are we going to behave in this particular area? What are we wanting to do? You know, take a quick sip of water. Hang on a sec. You'll be pleased to know that I've got cinnamon and honey in my water. Once I was attending a hospice workshop. I worked with hospice for 18 years. This was one time that all of us who were trainers were asked to attend a workshop on self-awareness. And one of the exercises we had to do was to write our own obituary and to imagine that we were watching the faces of all the people who were listening to it as it was being read out at our funeral. This was hard. So in other words, it was being read out by the rabbi, the priest, the imam, relative, friend, whoever was chosen to say something about us. Now, what about if everything that people were saying about us was so wrong that people were nudging each other and shaking their heads and saying, oh my word, is that who they're talking about? I never knew a person like that. Or are they nodding their heads in agreement at the nice things that are being said? You know, after this exercise, we all had a much needed break. And I must admit that some of us had a good laugh then as well. It was that self-distancing with laughter. But the next part of the workshop was to reassess ourselves. What could we change? What attributes would we like people to remember about us? Now, this was an amazing thing. If I myself was writing my own obituary, it meant I still had choices to make to become the type of person I would like to be remembered by. And that is a self-distancing technique. step outside ourselves. Who would we like to be? What is it about ourselves that we feel we can build on because it is our nine strengths? What is it about ourselves that we know do not serve us anymore? How can we go about changing this? It is this viewing love from a distance and the transitory nature of life, the fact that it is forever changing. And it is that life is asking us, it's demand quality of life. Every single moment of the day, we are being asked, how are we living our lives? You know, after the October the 7th of 2023, the subsequent war and the rise of anti-Semitism that has really shocked us all, have we had a chance to stop and reassess our lives? What choices do we want to make? What of our behavior no longer serves us? You know, I think we can learn so much from the freed hostages and how they are living their lives. Just this week, this last weekend, there was a beautiful talk, at least not talk, there was a post on one of the posts about two of the hostages who were getting married to each other. And I thought, wow, look at that. They are celebrating life and they are prepared to actually almost reaffirm their lives by saying life goes on and we are going to take it with both hands. And this is healing through meaning. They have found a way of saying we will get back to our lives. We will actually go on living. And I think that what Frankl said is also so true. Live as if you were living already for the second time and as if you had acted the first time as wrongly as you're about to act now. This is a mindset that immediately brings us from the past into the present. It's saying, look at our present choices from the distance of looking back and saying, okay, that did not serve me. It forces us to see the consequences of our actions and the actions we're about to take. Do we really want to take those actions or do we want to look at it differently? You know, a holy man was once questioned, why is it that when adults fight with each other, they take a long time to make friends, if ever? And yet when children fight, they make friends so quickly. The wise man answered, adults choose to be right. Children choose to be happy. How true is that? I love that because I'm sure you've all seen children fighting, and even in the playgrounds you've seen them fighting, and then all of a sudden they're lining up to come back into class and you see them wanting to stand next to each other to get back into class together. It's amazing a thing that children do not hold on to grudges like that, but adults do. And there's nothing sadder than going into a shiva house, going into a house of mourning and seeing families that are split. Sometimes they even are not in the same house mourning. They are in different houses. What a waste of a life that is to carry our grudges even into a mourning period is to rob ourselves of opportunities to relook at our lives, to relook at what we can embrace, to reopen discussions in a healthier way. And often we ourselves can't do the healthy way. We need help, but that's okay. You know, there is that defiant power of the human spirit, the ability to rise above what is happening in our lives and to find meaning even in the most difficult of circumstances. Viktor Frankl certainly taught us that. And I heard the most wonderful YouTube by Elisha, I think you pronounce it, Elie Wiesel's son. He's done it since October the 23rd, October the 7th, 2023. So it's a relatively new YouTube. And I would recommend you all look it up, because he gives the most wonderful example of his father's life. And while we are always being questioned by life, hourly, daily, we are being asked to fulfill the tasks that life constantly does set for us. Turning this distance, the self-distancing, into meaning. You know, I must tell you something else, that sometimes we find meaning in a strange way that life calls to us. The other day I got into the shower, and a talk about all creatures, great and small. I got into the shower and I saw this tiniest of lizards. I have no idea how it managed to get into the house, even into the shower. The shower door was closed. And so I didn't notice it. It was so small. It was about the size of my thumbnail. And it was only when I got into the shower that I saw this tiny little thing desperately trying to escape the water. And so I put my foot out and got it onto my toe. I then hopped out, which is quite difficult for me, I'm out there, on one leg, and put this little lizard on the bath towel. And I noticed it wasn't moving. So I got out of the shower myself, still wet. And I started, you're not going to believe it, trying to resuscitate this tiny little lizard. Started blowing on it, blowing and blowing, and literally willing it back to life. Unfortunately, no matter how much I blew, no matter how much I willed it back to life, this little lizard was no more. And I felt very sad. And I actually asked myself, why? You know, what is it that you're so sad about? And, you know, I was actually happy with my reaction to this tiny little creature. I just thought to myself, you know, if you can feel so greatly for a tiny, helpless little creature, how much more you can do by just caring for the greater world, for our creatures, great and small. I must just tell you the end of the lizard story. I didn't want it to end up being put in the washing machine with the wet bath towel. So instead, I picked up, once I was finished, I picked up the bath towel and I shook it outside so that the lizard could at least have a bit of sunshine on it. Well, actually, it was night time, but it would have felt the sun in the morning. But it was long gone by then. But, you know, I also thought about different ways that we do look at life. And some people look at life through rose-colored glasses. That there's not much being a realist actually looks sometimes, they sprout gloom and doom. But on the other hand, a rose-colored, people looking through a rose-colored spectacles do not allow you to sometimes see what is painful. And if our friends want to talk about something that is painful, we need to know that we are there. They need to understand that we are there. We are there to hear what they have to say. And I often think that my friends have taught me so, so much. But what we have to go on understanding that we are always questioned by life. We are the ones who must answer to life, by humor, certainly, but by looking at, by educating ourselves also into what is going on around us. Last week, on the 30th of June, was it last week? Yes. I was very proud of the way that Chai FM handled the whole day. There were so many doom and gloom predictions going around on all different areas in South Africa on social media. And I was listening. I was not out. I was sick at home, but I was listening to Chai FM a lot of the day, and I was just so pleased that they never once got into the drama of the day. And I was incredibly proud of South Africans too. We are an amazing nation, you know. We have come from a very dark past into a much brighter future. And while there is much still to be learned, there's much anger around still. I think on the 30th of October, we were told to expect riots and unbelievable mayhem and destruction being caused. And it didn't materialize. There were certain areas that were badly hit. But overall, South Africans came to the fore and behaved with dignity and care for one another. And it was so good to see. I'm so proud to be part of Chai FM and what Chai FM was putting out there and what we continue to put out there. And I was so proud of the greater African, South African community. And so I wanted to say that, what about our future self? How are we going to go on asking ourselves, not ignoring the problem, but asking, how are we going to face the problems that are going to be happening?
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. You're about to hear another very short audio clip, and I would like you to listen to it, and we'll discuss it afterwards.
It's a strange story, but it's a chain reaction that starts with Einstein.
Einstein had become a very much of a person to whom many refugees turned for help. And he was enormously helpful to many people, trying to find jobs for people who had to leave and flee and so on.
Professor Einstein was the one who sent an urgent message to the American consulate in Berlin, asking them to hurry the visa for us. And he was also the one who wrote a letter of recommendation so that they would let Daddy and Mom and me out earlier. He was a great help to us.
In fall of 38, we received the thickest letter with the most stamps I had ever seen in my life, which came from none other than Albert Einstein to my parents. He had written an affidavit of support, which doesn't exist anymore today. Money had to be deposited in the name of those people, so if those people would come from Europe, they would not fall burden to the American state. And he agreed to take care of us financially, I don't know, for 1 or 2 years. It was for my father, for my mother, and for myself.
Albert Einstein was instrumental in enabling me to come over more quickly. And the way that happened was that my parents were together with some relatives of Albert Einstein's in Theresienstadt. Those relatives asked my father to get in, if they did not survive, asked my father to get in touch with Albert Einstein to let him know what happened. They did not survive, and my father then got in touch with Albert Einstein after he came. Well, I guess even before he came over here. And Albert Einstein was very grateful and said that if there's anything he could ever do for my father, he'd be glad to do it. So when it seemed that there might be a delay for me to come over here, my father got in touch with Einstein, and Einstein wrote to the American consul in London and asked him to expedite my visa, which he did, and I was able to come over probably much more rapidly than I would have otherwise.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. And if you'd like to contact us, please do so on 061 0800-895-1019. You have just been listening to an audio clip. That audio clip was about how Einstein saved Jews during the Holocaust. And the reason why I put it in was because, you know, we're so often lately, we're hearing about the bystander effect, and it's something that Elie Wiesel spoke about, that he was absolutely amazed by the people who could have stood up and helped, but who didn't. Instead, they stood by and watched. Now, that's once again looking at the choices that we are being faced with. Hopefully, none of us are being faced with those sort of unbelievable choices. But look at that. Einstein, I didn't know that before. And I actually wanted to play that especially because I enjoyed it. See, I've just got a message from Les Erwig in Sydney. And it says, good to hear you, Sue, even if not with full voice. Thank you, Les. So good to know that you're listening. Sending love to you and Judy. This second chance, this looking back at our lives, it's a mindset. And if we use this mindset of looking at our present choices from a distance, it immediately gives us looking at the current position as though it's in the past. So it's looking at what are the choices we have. So this distance is an imagined second life, and it creates a profound sense of responsibility. And this is something we're all being asked to do, to respond to life. The responsibility, it forces us to see the consequences of how we are acting at the moment and urging us to choose a path that is going to be a better path for us and for the people in our lives. Ultimately, it actually is looking at our life from a distance, not in an indifferent way at all. It makes us look at what can we change? So it's self-detaching and shifting our focus outwards of looking at our life and saying, what is being expected of me? And what is the authentic meaning of my life at the moment? Am I brave enough to choose what life is asking of me? so often we choose to go the easier route. And if you look at many Holocaust survivors, the way they survived is by people who stepped out of the norm and stepped forward to help them. But we don't have to look at the Holocaust. We only have to look at what's happening in our own world today, not looking at all the naysayers of everything that's going to be going wrong, but rather at looking at the people who are looking at life with compassion, looking at it, saying, okay, if we can't change this situation, what can we change? And it's not by removing ourselves into a place of I don't want to know what's going on, so I'd rather just turn off all my social media or everything else. No, Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change that you wish to see in the world. One question that I did get a while ago was, I appear to really love quotes and also poems. And this is absolutely true. And I think I need to tell you that even in looking back on my own life, I realize that a lot of the quotes and the poems that I love came from my father. Even when I was in the crib, my father was reading me poetry and Shakespeare, and he taught me the love of words. Thank you, Craig.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program, and you're about to hear another very short YouTube audio clip, Be the Sun, Not the Salt, Do All the Good You Can, by Dr. Harry Cohen. Thank you, Craig.
So there's a very famous quote by a guy called John Wesley, And the quote goes like this: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Dear friend of mine gave me that quote, and it's framed sitting on my credenza, and it's a beautiful reminder of what we're supposed to do, which is just do some good. At the end of the day, when we practice doing some good, you can say to yourself, you know what, I think I did some good today. It can be helping a little old lady across the street. It can be cleaning out your garage. It can be finishing some items on your to-do list. It can be anything. But just ask yourself, did I do any good today? And see if you can. That's it. That's the practice of being heliotropic. There's no downside to being kind, compassionate, forgiving, thoughtful, considerate, hardworking, humble. These are qualities that when we practice, we are doing some good. That's it. It's helpful to remember, you're not in traffic, you are traffic. In other words, you're not in the culture of your organization or your family. You are the culture, meaning every single thing that you do reflects on, this is what we do around here. If you want to create a culture where people do a lot of good, you do a lot of good. Don't worry about anybody else doing good on you or anybody else needing to do some more good. All we have to do is practice that. That's it. No more, no less. There's no downside in being kind. None. Period.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. And the time is going very quickly. I especially put extra audio clips in because of my voice. That was Dr. Harry Cohen, and he talks about be the sun, not the salt. And he goes on to talk about the science behind why we are energized by some people and totally depleted by others. He says we're drawn to people who emit positive energy that help us flourish. Positive energizers express authenticity, kindness, generosity, gratitude, forgiveness, and integrity. And this choice exists in each moment for us. Do we want to be the uplifter or the depleter? And he goes on to say, have you ever wondered why, after an interaction with one person, you feel energized, but after a similar interaction with another person, you feel completely depleted? You're not imagining it. He says this is what he calls the heliotropic effect, the positive energizers. He describes this phenomenon as the heliotropic effect, and it's the natural pull towards life-sustaining energy. And I would like to say that I think that's what we're all being called on at the moment, to be this heliotropic effect, to bring the natural sunlight, happiness, goodness into our world, to be the sunlight, not the darkness, to be the light, to express what our authenticity, kindness, and as he said, generosity, gratitude, forgiveness, integrity. Just this is just to name a few. I mean, think about dependability. Who are those people who are there to help you? All we have to do is to express what we need to express, to even just to hold the door open. If we're going in to have our cards filled up, to greet the man, the petrol attendant, to thank him. If we're going in to have our, we still have our parcels packed at our different grocery stores. You don't find that anywhere else. Well, most other countries, you don't find that. So thank the person who's packing for you. Thank the person who's working behind the till. Frankl said that we have the choice to master our own fate and to use whatever we can to help others to reach their fullness, and in that way to reach ours too. Greg has just sent me a notification. Just hang on. And he's saying, I must wrap up. I'm going to wrap up. Thank you so much for being with me. You're going to be listening to a song by Bette Midler from a distance. I want to just end with this. It's from Guillaume Apollinaire, a poem. Come to the edge, we can't, we're afraid. Come to the edge, we can't, we will fall. Come to the edge, and they came, and he pushed them, and they flew. May we all fly with dignity, with gratitude, and fly helping one another in our formation. Thank you so much, Craig. Thank you, Vusi. Thank you, McGrindy. God bless.